ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृतं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 वर्स 18 टू 20। देहो रथास्तु इन्द्रियास्वा
देहो रथास्तु इन्द्रियास्वा
संवत्सरा
योगति संवत्सरा योगति
द्विकर्म चक्रास्त्री गुणः
द्विकर्म चक्रास्त्री गुणः
ध्वजः पञ्चसु पन्दुधा
ध्वजः पञ्चसु पन्दुधा।
Because there are three verses.
Just read
the first one. Devo ratastva indriyasva
Devo ratastva indriyasva
Samvatsara yodati
Samvatsara yodati
Vikarma chakrastri gunaha
Vikarma chakrastri gunaha
Dvaja pancha supanduha
Dvaja pancha supanduha
मनोरश्मिर्बुद्धिसुतारणनिधोद्वन्द्वकुभर पंचेन्द्रियार्थ प्रक्षेपः सप्त धातु वरुत्थतः अकोतिर्विक्रमो अभ्यायो मृगतृष्णा प्रधापति एकादशेन्द्रिया चामुः पंचसुना विनोदकृत्। व्हाट फॉर व्हाट मीनिंग देह बॉडी रथा
चैरिट
इंद्रिया द नॉलेज अक्वायरिंग सेंसेस अश्वः द हॉर्सेस संवत्सर टोटल इयर्स रायः ड्यूरेशन ऑफ लाइफ अगतिः विदाउट एडवांसिंग द्वी टू कर्म
activities
chakrama
chakra
wheels
three
three
guna
modes of nature
dvaja
flags
pancha
five
asu
life airs
bandhura
bondage Narada Muni continued, what I referred to as the chariot was actually the body. The senses are the horses that pull that chariot. We have heard this often Srila Prabhupada quoting this analogy of how body is the chariot and senses are the horses which pull that chariot. So it is coming from here where Narada Muni is explaining this analogy. What I referred to as the chariot was in actuality, the body. The senses are the horses that pull that chariot. As time passes, year after year, the horses run without obstruction. But in fact, they make no progress. Pious and impious activities are the two wheels of the chariot. The three modes of material nature are the chariot's flags. The five types of life air constitute the living entity's bondage, and the mind is considered to be the rope. Intelligence is the chariot driver. The heart is the sitting place in the chariot, and the dualities of life, such as pleasure and pain, are the nodding place. The seven elements are the coverings of the chariot, and the working senses are the five external processes. The 11 senses are the soldiers. Being engrossed in sense enjoyment, the living entity seated on the chariot hankers after fulfillment of his false desires and runs after sense enjoyment life after life. So, the last line is like a conclusion of the whole verse, where it says, being engrossed in sense enjoyment, the living entity seated on the chariot hankers after fulfillment of his false desires and runs after sense enjoyment life after life. Purport. The enlightenment of living entity in sense enjoyment is very nicely explained in these verses. The word samvatsara, meaning the progress of time, is significant. Day after day, week after week, fortnight after fortnight, month after month, year after year, the living entity becomes entangled in the chariot's progress. Who is the chariot?
Body.
So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how, and in the verse it is explained how, day after day, month, years, one is just engrossed in fulfilling the desires, looking after the body. The chariot rests on two wheels, which are pious and impious activities. The living entity attains a certain position in life in a particular type of body according to these pious and impious activities. But his transmigration into different bodies should not be taken as progress. Real progress is explained in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Tyaktva vinam punarjanma nahi mamaso Arjuna. One makes real progress when he does not have to take on another material body. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.138, Aite Brahmanda Bhari Ananta Jivagana Chaurasi Laksa Yonite Kariya Brahmana. The living entity is wandering throughout the entire universe and taking birth in different species on different planets. Thus he moves up and down, but that is not real progress. Real progress is getting out of the material world altogether. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Abrahma Bhuvanam Loke Punar Avartino Arjuna Maam Upajatu Kaunteya Punar Jarmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to Maya Bodo, son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Even if one is promoted to Brahma Loka, the highest planet in the universe, he has to come down again to the lower planetary systems. Thus he is wandering up and down perpetually under the influence of the three modes of the material nature. Being illusion, he thinks he is making progress. He is like an aeroplane encircling the earth day and night, incapable of leaving the earth's gravitational field. Factually, there is no progress because the aeroplane is conditioned by the earth's gravity. Just as a king is seated on a chariot, the living entity is seated in the body. The sitting place is the heart, and the living entity sits there and engages in the struggle for existence, which goes on without progress perpetually. In the words of Narottam Das Thakur, Karma Kanda, Nana Kanda, Kevala Vishara Kanda, Amrita Balya Yeva Kaya, Nana Yogi Sadafire, Kadara Bhakshana Kare, Tara Janma Adha Pate Yaya. The living entity struggles very hard due to the influence of fruitive activity and mental speculation, and simply gets a different types of body life after life. He eats all kinds of nonsense and is condemned by his activities of sense enjoyment. If one really wants to progress in life, he must give up the ways of karma kanda and nana kanda, fruitive activity and mental speculation. Being fixed in Krishna consciousness, one can become free from the entanglement of birth and death and the vain struggle for existence. In this verse, the words Mrigatrishnam, Pradhavati are very significant. Because the living entity is influenced consumed by the thirst for sense enjoyment. He is like a deer that goes to the desert to search out water. In the desert, an animal simply searches in vain for water. Of course, there is no water in the desert, and the animal simply sacrifices his life in an attempt to find it. Everyone is planning for future happiness, thinking that somehow or other, if he can reach a certain point, he will be happy. In actuality, however, when he comes to that point, he sees that there is no happiness. He then plans to go further and further to another point. This is called mrigam trishna, and its basis is sense enjoyment in this material world. Om Annanati Vandashya Vajyanajvana Salakaya Chakshurvanvititam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guruvaya Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandiham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvayatam Sararagunatam Vritam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parishasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saranalavita Shri Vishatam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskade Tatta Kanchana Dorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchukat Patro Vesha Kripa Sindhu Vesha Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. The purport is so elaborate and descriptive, there is no need to speak anything on this. Srila Prabhupada is very nicely explaining how living and thinking, which was the last line of this verse. I'll just read it again. Being engrossed in sense enjoyment, the living entity, seated on the chariot, which is the body, within the body, hankers after fulfillment of his false desires and runs after sense enjoyment, life after life. So, it's a very descriptive report. We'll try to speak something for my own purification. Person, we can see this in the light of five P's. This purport, we can, and the verse and the whole section, we can describe it in terms of five P's. The first P is the pumsa means people or person, P. The second P is possessions. The third P is position. The fourth P is penny or wealth. And the fifth P is pleasure. So, the living entity is running after this five P's. There is a beautiful verse in Bhagavatam which says, Ayurharati Vaipumsam Udhyanastam Chayanasu Tashyate Yat Shamanita Uttam Sloka Vartha. Every day by rising and setting of the sun, it is reducing the duration of life. But the living entity does not understand. I'm not talking about devotees here, I'm just talking about, as the purport explains, about the materialist people. They never inquire into the questions of life. They never inquire into the spiritual matters. So, every day by rising and setting of the sun, the duration of life is diminishing. But they are engrossed in material sense, enjoyment. The Prabhupada makes this point that the word samvatsara, meaning the progress of time, is significant. So the time is progressing for each and everyone. But as this verse mentioned, yes, tashyate yat shamamita uttam slokavada. But for devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the holy names of the Lord, for them time has no effect. Externally it might have effect, but they are transcendental, they are eternal. So they don't get affected by the influences of time. As we see these days, everyone is locked down. And probably devotees are the only ones who are happy with the situation. That's what I think most of the devotees are reading, started reading some Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita or some of the books. They say it's a good opportunity to sit at home and do something more, to focus on reading. So they are in bliss actually in one way. But of course, we know that everyone is suffering and it's not a good situation to have to be in. But sometimes we all pray, especially sometimes I do feel I should take a break. 6 months I should sit at home. I always used to think last year. And somehow the arrangement has been made. But it's not a good way that's been made. But still, somehow it is favorable. So there is a saying, time and tide waits for no man. So anyone who is not utilizing the time in spiritual matters, he is just reducing his life, and as one gets older, he is just wasting his time. So another thing Prabhupada makes this point, that living entity becomes entangled in the chariot's progress. Everyone is looking at how we can progress materially, how we can decorate this body, which Srila Prabhupada makes the point that this body is a dead matter. There is no point decorating this dead body. What is the point? And we see in many of the religions, like when a person dies, his body is given a nice bath, his body is put up with nice clothes, decorated like. But what is the use of decorating the dead body? The person is not going to feel any pleasure. While the whole life the person was living in poverty, but at the time of death he has been decorated. So there's no point. Another point Prabhupada makes this and makes in the purport is, the chariot rests on two wills, which are the pious and impious activities. So whether one is performing pious activities or impious activities, what will happen if one is performing pious activities? He'll have to enjoy the results of his pious activities. And if his and if he's performing impious activities, he'll have to come and suffer the results of his. So in whether he's performing pious activities or impious activities, Bhagavad Gita gives very nice karma, akarma and vikarma. If one is performing just a karma, karma is, he might be a pious person, is performing all these activities, but there is, he is accumulating pious results, pious reactions for it. And for to enjoy those pious reactions, he has to come back into this material life. Or one is performing impious activities, he will have to suffer, so he will have to come back again into this material life. So Prabhupada means the real progress, that is not real progress. The real progress is explained in Bhagavad Gita 4.1. So Arjuna, so Krishna is telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada is quoting here, the real progress is that one does not come back to this material after leaving this body. That is real progress. Where he does not have to take the material body again. But a living entity thinks that externally, what he is accumulating is the real progress. And Prabhupada gives an analogy of an aeroplane. An aeroplane is circumambulating around the Earth's orbit. It's really not going anywhere in space, but it is just circumambulating. And it is, again, because of the gravitational force, it comes down. As soon as the engine stops, it has to come down. So similarly, living entity, however high he may go, but he will have to come back to this material world. Prabhupada quotes this verse, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Notion. So, even if you perform all the pious activities and reach up to the planet of Lord Brahma, Satyaloka, even if you reach that planet, but you still have to come back, come down again, because one cannot stay. So, this is the nature of material nature, one keeps taking birth again and again. And next point, under person, people, Prabhupada makes this point, the living entity struggles very hard due to the influence of fruitive activity and mental speculation. and simply gets different types of body, life after life. I found this statement very interesting. That the living entity is suffering life after life because of these two things, fruitive activity and mental speculation. And immediately as these two words come, I remember of this verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, I was thinking, why would Srila Rupa Goswami mention these two things, Jnana Tamadhi and Avritti? While I was reading, pointed out that without giving up these two, fruitive activity and mental speculation, you cannot perform Anya Abhilashita Sunyam. Your desires cannot become Sunyam. And what kind of desires? We cannot give up our desires. It's not possible to give up our desires. But once we stop fruitive activity and mental speculation, our desires change. So our material desires become Sunyam. So it is very important, and Srila Prabhupada is confirming here that the living entity struggles very hard due to the influence of fruitive activity and mental speculation, and simply gets different types of body, life after life. So it's necessary that we give up this to fruitive activity and mental speculation. There are two marks specified. One is Pravritti Marg and the other is Nivritti Marg. What happens if one is too much on the Pravritti Marg? He becomes a fruitive, he is performing fruitive activity, he becomes a karmakanda. And what happens if he is too much on Nivritti Marg? He becomes a mental speculator, Jnani or a Mayavadi. So it is mentioned, as devotees, we perform both. There has to be balance of Pravritti and Nivritti. One cannot be completely on the Pravritti Marg, where one is enjoying the material happiness and so that mark, people enjoy material facilities and then they become frustrated and give it up. It is also a valid path, but not for us. We people of Kali Yuga are too much into sense gratification, and we are dull-headed, as Bhagavatam mentions, that people of Kali Yuga are generally less intelligent, unlucky, and all those things, always disturbed. So it's not for us. We see in Bhagavatam there are many, many kings who enjoyed their kingdom, and then at the right time they just became detached. They gave up their kingdom, they renounced. So, but that mark is not recommended. And the Nivritti Marg is also very difficult to perform. What will happen if we, and Srila Prabhupada specifically, stop devotees from giving up everything and staying at Radhakam? So it's not the mark we should be taking. We should not falsely renounce everything and go to one of the holy places and just say, what will happen then? Because our mindset is not correct, we will engage in sense gratification. So we will misuse. So both of these marks are not recommended. So this mental speculation brings us to another point. So we discussed how a person should live, what should be the quality of ego. The second ego goal is possession. What happens when mental speculates things? That gives rise to, there is a three term which are given: thinking, feeling and willing. By thinking, he meditates on something. The desires come and he thinks on those, dwells on those desires. And then he starts to feel those desires. If I drive this car, or if I have this mobile, or if I wear these shoes, how would I feel? And that feeling becomes stronger, and then willing comes, which is I want. I want to possess this, and then he goes into the circle of possession. So he tries to possess those things. There is saying the living entity has unlimited and unfulfilled desires, as there are stars in the sky. So, two words are mentioned here. There are unlimited and unfulfilled desires. As long as there are unlimited desires, it's okay. But when they become unfulfilled, that's a problem. Everyone has got desire. But when you try to fulfill them and they don't get fulfilled, then one's mind becomes agitated. So it is mentioned, when unfulfilled desires are there, the agitation of mind comes. And that gives rise to hard work. One works really hard to fulfill those desires. And what happens then? He feels inadequate and insecurity comes into the heart. So that is inadequacy. He thinks he mentally becomes morose. He feels that he is not having sufficient facilities, and he feels insecure in this material world. At that time, he starts accumulating and acquisition of material objects happen. So this is the cycle which one goes through. So that we always have desires, but we have to make sure we don't try to fulfill those desires, because it is mentioned that the desires come in the geometric progression, multiplying the geometric progression, but the fulfilling is in the arithmetic progression. What does this mean? It's exponential. The desires are exponentially coming, but the ability to fulfill those desires is very limited. How much can we fulfill? So it's an arithmetic progression. So at that point, one becomes frustrated if one tries to fulfill all those desires that come into the mind. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, I remember one of the statements he made, that people try to buy things which most of the time they don't need, but they want to show it off to whom they don't like, to people whom they don't like. So it's just out of, because that person has got something, I should have something better. So this is just kind of envy which is in the heart. So people buy things which they don't need to show off to people whom they don't like. So it was a very interesting statement. So, and accumulating and acquiring objects, what happens then? Once one tries to accumulate objects, acquire objects, he has to maintain them. And those maintenance takes time and place. And when you utilize all your time in maintaining those things and all your place, you want a bigger place, you want more possessions, and it just takes away your time. And this way, living entity wastes its time day after day. So first he thinks, the more I get, I'll be happy. And when he gets more, he thinks, the better I get, I'll be happy. So as soon as a person comes to Western country, Melbourne, what is the first thing he wants?
Job.
Job, and then car. I remember when I first came to Melbourne, this is like 20 years ago, the first thing I got was a mobile. 20 years ago, mobile was, I never had a mobile in India. And I was feeling, I have a mobile now. Coming here, the first thing I went, the first week, I went, because those days, even now, today, they gave a mobile for nothing. You just take it away and just pay $30 every month. And I thought $30 I can afford. And they gave me this 5110 with a big antenna. That was the latest. And I was feeling like everyone was carrying that mobile. 5110. It was like a brick, but still. So first thing, and it was so cool, right? I've got a mobile now. I can call anyone, everyone, even though I knew no one here. But I still thought, I've got a mobile. There was no use, probably. But still. So there's some kind of... And since then, how many mobiles we have changed in the last 20 years, right? And that's why previously when the iPhones, they used to release the iPhone, they used to have this ad, the best iPhone ever. Even the new version came, the best iPhone ever. So now they have stopped doing that, because then people will just wait for the best iPhone ever, which will never come. So they've changed their ads, but before they used to keep that those ads. So we keep on buying more and more, and then when we are not satisfied with more, then we think, let's buy better things. Instead of a Nokia, let's buy a, what is the other brand? Samsung. Or instead of Samsung, let's buy Apple. Or instead of Apple, something else. So one is just trying to buy better things, better car, better mobiles. Most of the Western people, or this is common now these days everywhere, better partners. So they're not satisfied with one thing, they go for another partner. So this is going on in the world. So that happiness is very relative. We feel happy not because we possess, but we feel happy if it is better in comparison to others. So it's very relative. We think if we have got something better than others, then we are happy. There is a verse called Manoratena Dhavato Bahi. So people are just on the mental speculation platform and they are running, they have become crazy. Bahi, after the material energy, external energy. But the objects of the world cannot satisfy the humanity. That's a, we have realized this or we have seen this. However more, however better we get, we are never satisfied. So an intelligent person, especially those who have got access to scriptures, it's very easy to understand how, understand the mind, how scriptures talk about the mind, and we feel, yeah, this is me, and especially this part, this section, or especially in this translation in purport, when we read, we see Srila Prabhupada speaking to us, as if he's telling us what level we are on. So, an interesting point I heard from one of the other classes was the satisfaction that comes from possessing material objects. That is, it is there. It just, it does give when you buy a new phone or a new car or even a pair of new shoes. For a while, it does give you, makes you happy, makes you satisfied. But that satisfaction does not come from happiness we see. Because the mind is always dwelling on a particular object, especially when you are out to buy a car. You see cars everywhere, like which car everyone is driving, or what is the best car, or what are the posters or advertisers saying about cars. You do a lot of research. The mind is continuously dwelling on those, that object that you want to possess. And when you buy that object, the mind becomes quiet for a while. And that quietness we feel it is happiness. So the happiness or satisfaction which we get from an object is basically satisfaction of the mind, not the happiness itself of possessing the object. But what happens, that cessation, and we all have experienced this thing, right? When you buy the new car, the feeling of a new car lasts for how long? If you are really ignorant, years, but most of the time it's month or two. So I know people who buy a new car and they will speak about that car for years. I just hope that person is not listening to us. So people dwell on that, and everywhere they go, they talk about, they are so much attached to this object. So, but usually the new car feeling lasts for a couple of months, and then one thing, it's normal, everyday thing. And then one wants another car. So, the feeling of anything new is just the satisfaction is not because of happiness, but it is because of cessation of the mind. Mind becomes quiet for a while because it got that object that it was dwelling on for such a long time. And then what happens? Another thing pops up. Guru Mahesh Prabhu gave a nice class on the mind 2 days ago, and Arjun Sarkar Prabhu gave on intelligence. So we saw how mind and intelligence work. So one after another things that are popping up all the time. It's not that if you satisfy the mind with one requirement, it will not pop up. And we see this more in the case of children, especially in the teens. They've got one desire, as soon as you try to fulfill that, there's another one waiting. But can we get this? And then when you give that, can we do this or do that or get this? So, and ours is the same, but we've learned the art to hide those desires. And kids don't have the art of hiding those desires. So we can see in them how the mind is working. One after another, the desires keep popping up. So we come to when one sees that he is not able to satisfy the mind, he comes to the third level, which is position. So that insecurity brings a desire to possess something, a position where he can influence people, where he can build good reputation with other people, where he can feel superior than others. So among his circle, especially in the corporate world, you see people try to satisfy their bosses or boss's boss, If you've got a good relationship with the chain, up hierarchy, then it becomes easy to get your things done. It becomes easy to get promotion, salary rise, and all those things are easy. So that position, one runs after, and one becomes dependent on the, those things. Dehapatra. Bhagavatam gives this verse, right? Dehapatra Kalatradishu. Atma Sainesha Asat Swami. They think that they are the Sainya, they are my army. They try to influence all the different body, son, wife, all the other relatives. They try to influence, become prominent in those relationships, and try to influence people. They think they will help me at the time of death or in, when I'm in trouble. But we can see now these days, nobody can help you. You have to be on a... It's a very interesting period actually we are going through. And to a certain extent, a lot of people are saying it's a blessing. We see the animals are on the road, on the highways there are animals roaming around which they never used to be seen. The sky is clearer now. There was a video which was sent. Now from Jalandhar they can see Himalayas, which the people are saying 50 years ago they used to see that. But in the last 50 years they have never seen Himalayas, which is 300, 200, 300 kilometers from Jalandhar. So from Jalandhar, if you stand on the rooftop, you can see Himalayas now. So imagine that Mother Nature has become more happier, I think. It's a good time. And we should all have a 6 month break like this. So that everything becomes normal, the pollution reduces. And there is another interesting point. The hospitals are saying the rate of heart attacks are reduced. People are not coming with heart attack or heart problems anymore because they are eating at home. So many of the hospitals are saying they are eating healthy, they are much better, and people who used to, the average number of people who used to come for heart problems, they have reduced drastically. People are only coming from coronavirus. So nobody is coming with the heart problems. So imagine the health of people has improved because the air has improved. And even the animals are happy. So it looks like it's a situation where we should be living in. If we analyze the whole situation, this is how one should be living, with minimum work, and of course it's not sustainable because of the economy. But if the planning is done in some way, one can live a life like this, natural life, where everyone is happy and peaceful and the Mother Nature is happy too. But what happens when one tries to acquire position? We are talking about position. He's trying to be engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Defending is something which people do to acquire, defend their position. And which is, as it is mentioned, pasugir samana. If one is just engaged in ahar, maithunam, ayam, nidra, bhayam, maithunam, sha. So it is same like animals. It's none different than animal. So this defending propensity is also in animals. So there is no point in wasting time in acquiring some position. And the next one is penny, wealth. What happens? Because of the four P's, because of the other P's, to satisfy the senses, people, pleasure, position, he has to work hard, he has to earn. And for that he works like a donkey. So we see a donkey is running, working hard. Of course, you all are elevated personalities. You don't work for material. So, donkey works hard day and night just to satisfy his master, so that he can get some grass at the end of the day. But there is so much of grass, and this analogy is given, there is so much of grass on the other side of the ground, a house. He can easily go and eat grass without working. But this is the conditioning, as it is mentioned in the purport as well. One becomes conditioned to work hard and earn wealth. Most of the people, you ask them, what are they going to do after earning wealth? And we see this, most of the people who are working 50, 60, 65 years, 70 years, their goal is what? After retiring, they go on a cruise. And Australia is one of the biggest. Most of the people who go on a cruise, the majority of the people are from Australia. So their dream, it's a dream life. After 65, I'll go with my wife on a cruise. Six months they are on a cruise, and you see what is the condition of those people these days. So Mother Nature punishes. Yeah, Mother Nature is whatever activities we do, we will have to suffer or enjoy the results of those activities. So we have to understand what is our motive. Vaishyasakhi Prabhu once mentioned this. The main point is to remember that main point is the main point. So, which means we always have to remember what is the goal of life. If we forget the goal of life and try to serve all the other P's, our life is a waste. So we always have to be vigilant of our purpose of life. And the last P we'll speak about, which Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, and this verse also emphasizes, is Mriga Trishnam Pradhavati, is very significant. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. So what is this Mriga Trishnam? That the living entity is influenced by the thirst of sense enjoyment. Like a deer, as it's explained in the verse. A deer is always running after, in the desert, he's running after mirage. He looks at, in the desert, he looks at a body of water and is running after that mirage. And when he comes to that point, he sees there is no water, the water is further away, and he keeps on going deep into the desert. And ultimately, he dies because of thirst. And this is exactly the condition of the materialist person. The materialistic person who's bereft of knowledge of spiritual scriptures and devotees, associated with devotees, he thinks this will make me happy. And when he comes to that point, he is again going further. Say, no, this is not going to be, this is not making me happy. So let me get more, or let me reach this position. And every time the goalpost just changes. And he's continuously running after sense enjoyment. So the passion, it is mentioned that the passionate person lives in the future. So such kind of person is passionate. He works hard. He's always living, this will make me happy, this will make me happy, and he works hard to reach that post. So he always, passionate person is always living in the future. The ignorant person is always living in the past. Because it's always thinking about if this I had done right, or if I had done this, I would have been happy. So it's always living in the past. But the person who's in the mode of goodness is living in the present. So what does that mean? He's always active. Whatever situation is he is in, he makes progress from that point. And that, this is what is Krishna consciousness means. To be conscious of what you are going through, what the surrounding is, conscious of Krishna, conscious of your environment and yourself. So this is in the mode of goodness, that one is always understanding, sees everything in relationship to Krishna and his energies, and utilizes it in that way. So the final part we discuss, what is the problem in satisfying all these five P's? So humans have got four defects, as it is mentioned here. When a person is illusioned, so which is one of the defects of human being, he is illusioned, he has got imperfect senses, he commits mistakes, and then he tries to hide up those mistakes and cheats others. So the material energy looks very attractive from outside. Example is given of the naphthalene balls. The naphthalene balls, they are so white and shiny. If a kid looks at it, he thinks he wants to eat it. It looks like a sweet sugar cube, right? He wants to eat it. But what will happen if somebody eats those balls?
Cleaning will happen.
Yeah. Completely cleaned up. It will be clean bowl. It's poison. So one will die. So the similar situation is in the material world, this Mrigatrishna, the sense enjoyment looks very attractive. But when one runs after it, he is running after the mirage in the desert. Eventually, waste all his resources, all his health and wealth in running after those mirage, and then he will eventually have to suffer for those sense enjoyment. It's an interesting conversation of Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Haridas Thakur mentions that the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord are very attractive, and whereas the people in Kali Yuga, they often have those qualities but in limited proportion, and it's not. So if somebody is beautiful, he has got a beautiful form, he is not intelligent. But if somebody is intelligent, he might not be beautiful. And if he is intelligent and beautiful, he has got bad character. So some or the other inadequacies are there in the material. But the spiritual form of the Lord, form, name, form, pastimes, qualities of the Lord are transcendental, and they are full of bliss and attractive. As it is, Ullabhacharya makes this point in his song, Adaram Maduram, Badaram Maduram, Nainam Maduram, Asitam Maduram, Vidayam Maduram, Gamanam Maduram, Maduradhipade Akhilam Maduram. So he says, the Lord is full of beautiful, he is sweet, and he is the emperor of sweetness. And all the qualities, form, name, pastimes of the Lord are sweet. So as it is mentioned, Haridas Thakur also mentions that when one comes in contact with any of the aspects of the Lord, he becomes transcendentally happy. So this is what is required, and that is why every morning we chant. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when we come in touch with the spiritual energy, this form, pastimes, name of the Lord, which is Abhinatmam Naam Naaminam, the name of the Lord is non-different than the form of the Lord. So when we come in touch with the spiritual energy, we become transcendentally blissful and happy. So I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments.
Trying to understand Chinchavada Tattva.
Sorry, which tattva?
Chinchavada Tattva. How can, because you just said that the name is non different from the form. So where's the difference then?
Yeah, so Achinta Bheda Abheda Tattva is more related to the material form of which we are talking about. But the name of the Lord and the form of the Lord are none different. So the potency that the name has is the same as what the form has. So if you are taking darshan of the Lord, the form of the Lord, because suppose we are not Brahmanas, we cannot touch the Lord or we cannot go on to the altar. But just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we are doing the same service that the pujari is doing on the altar. We are touching the Lord.
But even the material form is still Krishna's energy, so...
Yeah.
So how is that any different than the name, than Vrindavan, than any of these? Isn't it just a state of consciousness? Not a material form as such, it's just material consciousness?
Sorry, I did not understand the second part of the question.
You said the material form is different, but even the material form is Krishna's energy.
Not talking of the material form of the Lord. Lord's form is transcendental. Lord's form is not material. Lord is always in his Atma Maya. He's always in his transcendental form. We are talking about the Jivas. So the Jivas are one with the Lord, at the same time they are different from the Lord. So that is known as Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. So we are part and parcel of the Lord. But at the same time, because we are part and parcel of the Lord, it doesn't mean that when we leave this body, we merge into the body of the Lord. We still remain an individual.
Yeah.
So that is one end difference. Achinta Bheda and Abheda. So we are one, but at the same time we are different. in quality we are one with the Lord. In quality we are Satchitananda. But in quantity we are Anu, and Lord is Vibhu. But we never lose our identity, that is the whole point. We are always individual. But at the same time, we are again part and parcel of the Lord, as Bhagavad Gita is explaining. Do you get the point?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
It's regarding to the desires. As a karma mission bhaktas.
Sorry.
As a karma mission bhakta.
Karma mission bhakta. Yeah.
Because we are not purified, fully purified, so still material desires there. So how we can differentiate it's the desires of the soul and the desires of the mind?
Okay, how can
we tell in the mind cells?
What is the end of the golden mind? How can we? What is the second part of the question?
The difference between the desires of the soul and the desires of the mind is in the condition of karma nisha bhakti. And because we are engaged in the process, bhakti yoga, so, and the idea is not to fulfill the desires.
Okay, so if I've understood your question, so there is a desires which are coming from the mind and desires of the soul. So how can we differentiate between them and how should we act on one or not for the other? Since we are acting bhaktas, right? So that is why it is very important that we are always in the association of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. These are the three things which gives us knowledge about what we are desiring is coming from the soul or from the materialistic mind. So when we are in the association of the devotees will tell us, and we can always check that I have got this thought, should I act on it with the devotees? It is very important to have a healthy, as Prabhu was mentioning, for devotees, it is very healthy to have association of other devotees. One should never be alone, or that feeling that I don't have anyone who can help me in my situation is very bad situation. One should always have circle of devotees whom you can open up your mind to. And for every desires or everything that we try to do, we should discuss with devotees. And when we discuss with devotees, you will get an answer. Sometimes they will appreciate it, and sometimes they will say, there is a fault in this thought process. And then we can confirm with Guru as well as Shastras. When we are reading scriptures, scriptures reveal to us what we are doing. And when we read this verse, it was very enlightening to read this verse, because it directly speaks about you fool, you are going one goal after another, just stop it. It reveals our mind to us. So scriptures reveal this, association of devotees reveal, our spiritual master reveals to us. But it is very important to be in the association of devotees, that is the most important. And we will come to know whether it is from coming from the mind or it is the spiritual desire. The devotees will reveal it to us. Does it answer the question? Okay, we will stop here. Grand Prashna Bhagavatam.
Jai.
Shila Prabhupada.
Jai.